out with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and remain on our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Till the storm passes over. Do you have storms in your life? One day I was searching through the computer, looking for the headlines for the news, see what's going on. Russia bombed Ukraine again. Bad storm. President Biden accused of bribery. Another storm. President Trump indicted. Another storm. Homelessness, riots, murders, soaring. Another storm. The Diamondbacks lost. Stocks were down. And then an email popped up on my screen. Dr. Bill Cost passed away. And suddenly, none of those storms mattered anymore. What is it about life that dwarfs all of the huge events going on around us? Life is so all-encompassing, all-absorbing, and yet with those words, June 10, Dr. Bill Cost. In a split second of time, nothing mattered except that. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate his life. But I think that this is a good time for us to see where we stand in the midst of the storms all around us. One day, several years ago now, I was driving on the freeway headed into downtown Seattle during rush hour. And I always vowed every time I did that, never again. I don't even want to go to downtown Seattle anymore. But I had to go. Hundreds of thousands of cars, bumper to bumper, go a little bit, stop, go a little bit, creep, stop. Streaming into the city from the outlying areas of Seattle, people spending thousands of hours of time driving to do 8 hours of work when they get there, and then driving all the way back through bumper-to-bumper traffic just to go back to a place that they work in order to have a place to go back to. Maybe spend a few minutes with family, or watch a little TV, or play some computer games. It just seems so meaningless while I'm sitting there in all that traffic. And the words came to mind from a wise man, King Solomon, in Ecclesiastes 1:8. He said, all things, now bear in mind, King Solomon is going outside of himself and looking at a world without God. And he writes what he sees. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. In the town, out of sound like he was describing where I was. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which anyone can say, look, this is something new? It was already here a long time ago. It was here before our time. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. Francesco Amadeo Dingiani. How many of you ever seen or heard anything about him? No one. He was born February 5, 1887, in a little town called Sclera, Italy. Migrated to New Orleans, Louisiana. He married Marie Palmisano. They had three children. He started building businesses, selling cookies, wound up being a real estate magnate, board of directors of Guarantee Homestead in New Orleans. He built a home for war orphans in Genoa, Italy, built a hospital for his physician son, Vincent, went to a graduation service at Ozark Adventist Academy to see his grandson graduate 2 months before he died. By the way, his grandson was Jack Colon. And none of you ever heard of him. In fact, I would venture to say there are no more than eight of us cousins on this earth that have even seen him. There's no remembrance of men of old. Even those who are yet to come will not be remembered. Why was he even here? Except for me and my cousins. I also thought about Psalm 39, verse 4. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro, bustles about only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not even knowing who's going to get it. Now, some of you may want to leave about now, saying, Pastor, I didn't come here for all of the gloom and doom. Isn't there any good news for us today? Well, there is, because the very next verse, verse 7 in Psalm 39, but now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. No matter how nasty it gets in this old world, your hope is in Him. What hope? Luke chapter 4, verse 16. On the Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read from the prophet Isaiah. I love this verse. Gives me goosebumps. The Spirit of the Lord, he read, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And here's the cool part. He rolled up the scroll, sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him as he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's our hope. Are you poor? Are you blind? Do you have physical ailments? Are you suffering from the storms of life? Today, he said, I have come to fulfill that hope. In the midst of the oppressed, in the midst of this trial, in the midst of the bombs falling, Jesus fulfills that hope. You know, I like this little story about Paul and Silas. They had been preaching about Jesus, got arrested, thrown in jail, and there they were, beaten, sitting in stocks, you know, with the wooden thing with the holes in there for their feet and their arms. And you know what they were doing? They were singing hymns. And the other prison, they were singing hymns. That's what a precious thing, because that means that no matter how bad it gets, and it's going to get bad, if you haven't had anything bad happen yet, you will. That's the kind of world we live in. But no matter how bad it gets, there's room to sing and praise God. And so we can have a life, Jesus said. I've come to give you a life. Come to give it to you more abundantly. We can have an abundant life. It may not be money. It may not be clothes. It may not be new cars and big houses. But you will have an abundant life. You can sing hymns in the midst of it all. Even now, while we're imprisoned by the storms of life. About 12 years ago, Dr. Karst had a heart attack. And I remember visiting over there some time back. And I asked him, I said, I love to ski. I'm a skier. I go 20 times a year. I'm retired now. I can do that. And it's free when you get over 75. So I love skiing. And I said, Bill, how did you have that ski accident? What happened? Well, he was quick to let me know. It was not a ski accident. He had a heart attack and fell at the top of the slope and slid down, hit a tree. He was a good skier. So it wasn't a ski accident, no matter what anybody tells you. Anyway, he set me straight, and I hope to ski with him up there. I might show up at your doorstep with my skis, Edrin. Spent the next 12 years confined to a wheelchair, but I've only known them 6 years now, half that time. I have never heard either one complain. I can still see Edrin back there getting the wheelchair out of the back of the car every time they went somewhere. What a wife! What a man! Singing in prison, singing amid the storms, the trials of life. What a blessing to each other and to our church. So what is the meaning of life? I mean, we're here one day, gone the next. What's the meaning of it all? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You know all that. And then he created Adam and Eve on the sixth day. And he put them in his beautiful garden that had anything they could ever want. And he told them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with people that are happy and full of joy and singing songs and doing just what they wanted to do, never having to do anything that they don't want to do. Fill the earth with people like that. And it would have been perfect forever. Sometime long ago, a beautiful angel named Lucifer rebelled against God's government, wanted power for himself, wanted to do things his way instead of God's way, convinced a bunch of the other angels, fought against God. They were hurled down to this earth, cast down, and at the Garden of Eden he met Adam and Eve. Did God tell you you could eat any tree in the garden except that one there? Yeah, we can't eat from that one. We're going to die. You won't die. No, God's holding back. He knows your eyes will be open and you'll be like him. You'll be able to know good from evil. So you won't need to have anybody tell you what to do. Give it a try. And she looked at it and it looked good. Seemed fine. So instead of just trusting God, she trusted what she saw, what she felt in her heart. And death entered the scene. The leaves began to wilt. Adam and Eve began the long dying process. That's not the punishment for sin, because both good and bad die like that. We all do. Punishment comes after the judgment day. They saw their own son, firstborn son, murder his brother. Who wants to live in a world like that? But Jesus came to set you free. To give you an abundant life, even now while we wait. He gave us hope for eternal life. Meanwhile, he lets us rest. Sometimes life just gets to be too much, and God lets us rest. That's where the term rest in peace came from. Dr. Bill's resting in peace. And I like to think about that. But that isn't the end. Jesus expanded the horizon. The Bible pictures him and Mary and Martha at a tomb of their brother Lazarus. And they were crying because he had just died, obviously, if they were at his tomb. He just died. In the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus cares and loves so much that in John 11:35, it says Jesus wept. He understands you. Even though he knew what was about to happen, and you know what happened, told him, roll the stone away. Oh, no, he's been dead 4 days. We can't do that. Roll it away. And then he said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out. At the voice of the life giver. And we're going to hear that voice again. Sure, there's death. Sure, there's pain. But the resurrection follows. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. And Jesus liked to use that expression for those who have died. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of the men who have no hope. We have hope. We believe that Jesus died. I always used to think that people shouldn't bring drinks and water and stuff into church until I moved to Arizona. So how does he do it? We believe Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. How's he going to bring them? How's he going to bring them with him? Verse 15, According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive and left until the coming of the Lord, we will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with a trumpet call of God, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive, and I think it's going to be us, I don't know that, but I think that. Every year goes by, I got less and less a chance, but I still think it. After that, we who are still alive and left until, let me start over. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. It isn't over. Like Yogi Berra used to say, it ain't over till it's over. Well, it's not over yet. We rest. There's this little sleep in between, but the voice of the life giver is going to come and rise up out of the grave, and together we're all going in together. Whew. Don't miss that. Don't miss it. I like to think about death as a reminder that something huge lies on the horizon. Resurrection? Yeah. But resurrection to what? Revelation 21:1, my favorite book. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Are you ready for that? I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with him, and he will be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Do you have tears? There'll be no more death. No more. Or mourning. Crying. Pain. No more. For the old order of things has passed away. And then in 22:1, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, flowing down the middle of the great street of that city. Clear water, clear as crystal. I won't need an RO filter in my house anymore. I'll be able to walk out in the woods when you're out there hunting, Jaden, and see a stream and just bend over and drink that water. And don't worry about the bugs in there. You want to live in a place like that? On each side of the river was the tree of life, bearing fruit, 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. I don't know what kind of fruit's on that tree. I think, though, it's got to be at least Honeycrisp apples. Now, I used to think Fuji, but we did a crusade up in Wenatchee, Washington, when they were just coming out with the Honeycrisp apple up there, and somebody brought us a whole case of it, and I've never, ever wanted to eat another kind of apple. I know it's got to be on that tree. Watermelons as sweet as honey hanging on a tree. Big cherries, peaches. Oh, I can't wait. You want to eat from that tree? Well, I'll meet you up there. That's where I'm going to go. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. No more sickness. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more eyeglasses. No more hearing aids. No more CPAPs. No more wheelchairs. Do you want to live there? You may be thinking, is there really a place there for me? John 14:1, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Sounds like an Airbnb, but it's going to be free. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you can be where I am. You think he's interested in you? He has a place prepared for you. All you need to do is say yes. That's the hope that Bill had. And that's the hope that we who are left here today can have too. Bill Cast loved Jesus. I believe that. I believe he had that hope burning in his heart. I'll never remember the day, I think it was just a night or two before he passed away. We were sitting there on the sofa with him, and I asked him, I said, Bill, how do you feel? I'm okay. But I mean, are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus? And he sat up with a little smile on his lips, and he said, I'm ready. I'm not the judge. I don't know who's going to be there and who's not going to be there. I only know about myself. But it doesn't hurt to believe that when we get there, I'm going to see him again, and he's not going to be in a wheelchair. Doesn't hurt to believe that. What about you? His life on earth is over. He's at rest in peace. But if we have any chance of a hope to see him again, we need to be there. So what about you? God has brought us to this point in time right now. Nothing in the world really matters at this moment in time. Nothing else really matters except where are you? Are you right with him? Jesus came into this world to be a man, to live a perfect life, to take your sinful life in his own body, guilty for your sins and mine, to die in your place on that cross. He identified with you so much that Peter said he took our guilt on himself. And Paul said, when he died, you died. You died with him. And all you need to do now, since he rose again and broke through the tomb, all you need to do now is say, Jesus, save me. I look in this old world and there's nothing here for me. I want to be with you. I want to be with my family. I want to be with Dr. Bill. And he will. He'll save you. He'll save you now. So instead of looking down at the darkness of the grave, it's time to look up to the hope that he gave to us. I know that's what he would want you to do. Jeremiah 31:13, I'll turn their mourning into gladness. I'll give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. Let's put our faith in him. In the midst of the pain and suffering, now while the storm is passing over, now while we can see the gleams of the golden morning piercing through the night of gloom, now while we see the gleams of the golden morning that will burst the tomb, give your life to him now.
Please stand.
It's almost like we can see it now. the gleams of the golden morning. Things are so dim and dark around us, but Lord, if we look through the eyes of faith, we can tell that Jesus is coming soon. So the desire and the prayer in our hearts is that on that day when He does come, that we'll all be joined together in one big happy family with You, just the way You intended for us to be from the beginning. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.